Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
There was an old guy in town who used to start this way. Gentlemen, let's get this thing straight once and for all. So let's get it straight. If Paul Vallis is in a one-on-one runoff with Mayor Rahm Emanuel, Chicago will have a new mayor. And it will not be Emanuel. It will be Vallis. Vallis, the former budget director and CEO of the Chicago Public Schools, is the one challenger out there who can run the city from day one. The big money in town knows it. The newspaper editorial boards know it. Public sector unions know it. The players know it. Rahm knows it. Vallis is the candidate Rahm fears. So the mayor will do everything in his power to avoid that runoff. It's all about arithmetic. Rahm's in deep trouble with black voters over his Laquan McDonald fiasco. And guess what happens? No Latino candidate. Wow, amazing. Rahm reaches out to Latinos as Mayor Zorro, making Chicago a sanctuary city, and issuing that new Mayor Zorro ID card to citizens and non-citizens alike. Check. Many black candidates and Dorothy Goat Lady Brown to cut off pieces of the black vote? Check. And he'll use all his powers with his media contacts, and he has them, to redefine Vallis and weaken him. Love Rahm Emanuel, not love him, either way, all that doesn't matter. Politics ain't beanbag. Chicago is a multi-billion dollar corporation, and Emanuel is a smart, tough veteran operator. He knows what he has to do. And Vallis does, too.
He fears me as a candidate because, you know, I represent somebody who's coming in. I'm not suggesting that there have not been other quality candidates. I'm not going to anyway criticize the other quality candidates, some who heroically challenged them. What that means clearly is he's facing someone who has a track record, which he's going to try to rewrite historically. I'm going to have to, you know, this is a tough arena here. You know, If you're going to get in the ring, you've got to be prepared to take some punches and right. And to do some effective counter punching. So I'm a big guy when it comes to that kind of stuff, and it also means that he's got to start, you know, he's got to start labeling me. So, and this is what they're going to do. And I believe that Rahm believes that if he, you know, let's face it, he has a lot of money. He's got a huge public relations team that every day is sending out, you know, little press releases and things like that, whispering reporters, or sometimes he operates through surrogates he's given considerable financial contributions to. And so what they're going to do is they're going to try to rewrite my record. What I've got to do is just anytime he hits, I'm going to hit back, and I'm going to hit back harder.
Joining me, as always, is my friend and co-host, WGN radio producer Jeff Carlin. Chicago editorial cartoonist Scott Stanis is coming in. And that new anchor for WGN-TV, Joe Donnellan, a guy from the weirdest city in America, Portland. He's a breakdancer. Yeah, mm-hmm. Pot, coffee, they hate Seattle, and they're weird. That's Portland. They have the World Naked Bite Ride, the defunct Velateria Museum of Velvet Paintings, and they've got that Keep Portland Weird Festival. Donlin's not weird. We're not weird. We may be broke and violent and crooked and hopeful. This is Chicago, the unweird. And I'm John Cass, husband and father of two, your mild-mannered, nationally syndicated columnist from the Chicago Tribune, and this is the Chicago Way.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand. Defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
bothers me is that we have a guest in this studio who comes from a city that proudly calls itself the weirdest city in America. They smoke pot. They drink coffee. They hate Seattle, which is good. But they also have, like, they used to have a velvet museum. Museum of Velvet Paintings. And they couldn't even keep that open.
Yeah.
Here comes Joe Donnellan, WGN anchor, the new anchor. When I see you, man, I thought you were a normal person, and then you start breakdancing. What's going on with you?
Yeah, nothing like torpedoing your career and credibility in your first week.
I thought it was funny. So welcome to Chicago, man.
Thank you, John. I've had several friends ask me if it's real yet to be on the Chicago Way with John Cass. Now it's real.
Oh, yeah, it's as real as it gets, baby.
That's right.
So tell us about yourself, man.
Well, just let me first say thank you, because this show was a huge part of my preparation and background and research coming in. 3 months ago it started, when I knew this might be a possibility, and I've become a huge fan of this show. And I can't tell you how much I've learned from you and Kristen McQuarrie and Jeff, the Mincing Rascals. I haven't studied this much since college, you know, in preparation for this, and it's really, truly just an honor to be here.
So all those finals that you never studied for.
That's right.
But you didn't have podcasts, so you had to actually read books.
That's where I learned how to break dance at Marquette and juggle.
What is that about? A breakdance? I could imagine. Did you come down from Milwaukee to Rush Street?
Yeah.
And hang out at Rush and Oak and do your little breakdancing in the day?
We used to come down for Mike Royko's Rib Fest, and we'd come down for Hawk games at the old Chicago Stadium.
I could just imagine the guys at Tavern on Rush, Marty Gatilla, who's recently passed, just looking out at Joe Donnellan going, that guy, see that guy, the crazy white guy spinning? That
guy's going to be head.
Senior news anchor at WGN right. Someday.
Well, I grew up in St. Louis. I spent between St. Louis and Milwaukee the first 22 years of my life in this area. And so for me to get this call, and I stumbled into this. I was not looking for it. I called Sapelsa last November. I had gone to Marquette with him and said, hey, congratulations, good for you. Give me a ring. Let's catch up.
Yeah.
And he called the next day and said, you know, they're still looking, man. If you're interested at all, send your stuff in. And the next thing I know, 2 days later, they called and said, when can you be here to audition? So off we went.
He's a good man, and that's a great recommendation. They have Mark.
Yeah, he greased a lot of skids for me, absolutely, on the way in.
But then, you know, you've got to prove yourself. And, you know, he starts out, he could either be a anchor or run for judge.
Exactly.
That name, Joe Donnellan, right. Let's make him chief judge now.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Appointed to the Dibs Court.
So Dibs Court, yeah.
Tell us what's the difference between, if there is any that you can see, between the approach of news towards news in Portland, City of the Weird, and news in Chicago, the Chicago Way.
Right. Well, my first observation is that it's very similar in what we do, but it's just bigger. More staff, more resources, more people, more support. There were 25 people in the afternoon meeting yesterday, and in Portland there would typically be 5 or 6. More reporters on the street, more resources. I think, unfortunately, what's happened in the business in a lot of cities is that there have been significant cutbacks, as you know, and it's resulted in a proliferation of news programming with a declining amount of resources, and that's not a good formula when you're trying to fill news time with quality journalism. It's tough.
What is quality journalism on TV? Sorry.
Well, go ahead. I'm used to this.
You know, because we're always, you know, because you guys make the big bucks. we're the wretches, the ink stained wretches.
Oh, come on.
Right, Jeff knows
I always
this.
Get this from the
he understands
the newspaper
this
people.
Fight, you know?
You know, to me, it's just good
God, when I see Roe, it's like, oh, I'm in the presence of a god.
Yeah.
All right.
I think it's just good storytelling. It's information, but we've become sort of under attack lately, and I'm not sure really why. It's kind of baffling to me. I mean, I think too many people are looking for affirmation and not information.
Yeah.
And as a result, it's made it more difficult for a lot of people in the media to kind of just do their job the way we've been trained to do it. I mean, I was standing and looking at all the quotes down in the lobby of the Trib Tower, and that's what it's all about. I get the chills reading those things, you know.
Those are significantly
powerful. And that's why we do this, John. And I have a tremendous amount of respect for what you do and, yeah. and for what we do in TV as well. But it has come under attack a lot. And I think to answer your question, it's good journalism. It's covering the political process as you do so well and anything else that's going on in the city.
When we came up in this business, there was such a thing as broadcasting. Jeff Carlin, remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea was that they would present the news neutrally. Although, in reality, it wasn't presented mm-hmm. neutrally. And that and it kept creeping over. I think there was a more of a liberal bias to it over time, which gave Fox News Corp a chance to come in and offer their alternative programming.
Mm-hmm.
And then they offered their programming from the right, and then others went morphed to the left to grab listeners. And pretty soon, then with cable, you can grab any, you know, I want to find, let's see, I'm I have multiple genders, and I don't know what my racial origins are, so there's a station for me. Or I'm pro healthcare, nationalized healthcare, but I also like the Second Amendment, so there's a station for me. I don't mean to I'm not trying to mock anyone or any group. What I'm trying to say is that we had broadcasting, now we have narrowcasting.
Mm-hmm.
And how does that affect the telling of stories on a station like WGN?
Well, I don't think we're narrow casting.
No, I agree.
I think we're broadcasting. But this, to me, leads to part of the problem. If you're only listening to the side you agree with or believe in, then you're in an echo chamber. If you don't read the Trib because you don't think you're going to agree with John Cass or Rex Hupke, you're missing the point. That's the whole idea, is to make you think. Yeah. So you should be listening to the bigger, broader picture. And I think too many people, like I said, are focused in on what they want to hear and not listening to the other side of some of these arguments.
How about the quirky side? You have, in Portland, you had like your quirky reporter who would go out and do like velveteen mm-hmm. paintings things, right? Like lament the closing of the Velvet Museum.
Right.
Stand there and sip an Americano and wear a fleece and just say,
I don't
dudes,
think you could
I'm so sorry. Yeah. Do you think I could
I don't think you could live there, John.
You don't think? Come on, man. Yeah. Portlandia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Southside.
Put a bird on it.
Yeah, put a bird on it.
Yeah, right. It's no south side. What is the bird?
That was a line from Portlandia where they thought putting a bird on
it
made everything better.
Hipsters would buy something. Just put a silhouette of a bird on it,
so
and they would buy
that,
it.
Is that why Rex has a bird on his
probably.
Head?
Probably.
He's doing that whole, he wants it. Maybe he could go to Portland then.
No, he would fit in. He would fit in.
Well, the funny thing about that was when Bernie Sanders came through town to speak at the Moda Center, he was at the dais, and a bird landed on the podium. God. You remember that?
Oh, yeah. Man. Oh, jeez. Yeah.
Just perfect. It is a weird, quirky, crazy, progressive city, and they will protest at the drop of a hat. They don't need a reason.
See, I like that, though. I like people that are active in their community, and you know, the only thing I don't like is when one side or the other tells the other side to shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, I like
unless it's little bike people, right, John?
They have bike people in there.
Oh, yeah, the bikes run
kidding?
The city. Yeah,
we have the our bike people. Beware of them. Mm-hmm. First of all, there's a great restaurant. There's a few great restaurants on Grand Avenue.
Okay,
off Grand Avenue. But if you want to make a left turn on Milwaukee,
uh-huh.
forget it, because all the little bike people, and you could you might not see them when it's dark, but you could see the mustard colored pants. Why? Remember when they were wearing mustard pants and cardigans like Grandpa?
In Portland, the bikes are all orange, bright orange.
As they should be. Do they pay a fee?
To rent them?
No, to drive them.
No. Well, you pay to rent the bikes.
Be careful now, Joe. This is like a dangerous subject for you to get into. But I'm advocating, and this is where the little bike people go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they should pay like a toll. You know, a toll, because
they enjoy all the benefits of the roads.
Right. Some sort of licensing fee, at least.
Right, and they did incorporate that in Portland.
They did?
Yeah, when you buy a new bike, you have to pay tax. I think it's $15 or $20 on a bike that's more than a certain price.
That's not enough. $10,000 per bike. And no bikes on Lake Street when I'm trying to make a turn on that.
Right?
You know,
jeez.
I mean,
or Ashley.
Ogden to Lake. Yeah, I hate that.
That's
term.
The worst.
Ooh.
So, Joe, you're a Blackhawks fan, right?
I'm a hockey fan, yeah.
I mean, you're from St. Louis, so...
Right. So, I grew up with Noel Picard and Bob and Barkley Plager and Bobby Hull. Bobby Hull had a message for me last night on the news. Did you see that
story? No, I missed it.
Oh, it's incredible. So, there's a Chicago company that's... Yeah. You can pay to have your celebrity favorite celebrity give you a message or a shout out, and Bobby Hull did it for us last night. Which
if you haven't seen this guy, Joe Donnellan, tall, good looking Irishman, he's he looks athletic. He looks like he could be a winger.
I was left wing, yes.
And yeah. He doesn't have that long flowing hair like
I did.
What's his name? Gary Unger. Who's the St. Louis
Gary Unger?
Gary Unger from
back in the day.
From Detroit. He broke my friend Anne Marie Lipinski. She loved Gary Unger in Detroit, and he left, broke her heart big time.
I got to play with the Chicago Blackhawk alumni team back in 1994. You talk about a career highlight for me.
Oh, man.
Pitt Martin, Stan Mikita, Yvonne Boldarev.
What did you do in the locker room before the game? It was... Rye whiskey and Marlboros, right?
Those guys had been out playing golf and drinking all day long. So we were playing the University of Arizona. I knew the coach, and he called me and said he knew I'd played at Marquette, and he said, hey, the Hawks are short. Do you want to play? And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So I'm sitting in the locker room, and Reg Fleming was the coach, and he walks in, and he says, what position you play, kid? And I said, left wing. And he says, good, you're on defense with Magnuson.
At least Joe can fight.
Right.
Unlike Magnuson.
Well, speaking of which, Secord was there, too.
Oh, yeah.
And, oh my God. He hadn't been out long, and I mean, he took his shirt off, and he was jacked still. In fact, O'Callaghan was there, and you know, OC says to him, he goes, hey, Al, what's wrong with your arms? They're all swollen. This was supposed to be a non-check game, too. And at one point,
right.
One of these Arizona guys kind of ran Secord off the puck into the boards.
Hip check?
And no, it was just kind of a subtle, push off. And Secord, I don't even think he was wearing a helmet. But the two of them were standing there jawing for a second, and we were on the bench, couldn't tell what he said. But then we got back to the bench, we got into the locker room, and O'Callaghan said, hey, Al, what'd you tell that kid? He said, I told him if he got near me again, he wasn't going to have any teeth to brush in the morning.
This is a podcast. We can say anything, but the man is a public figure now. He's in Chicago. He's coming here. He's going to be judged on his, people are going to ask him stupid Chicago questions, and I hate those, to prove that you're like ketchup or on a hot dog.
When you say Chicago pizza, what comes to mind?
Well, I can't wait to go to Geno's Eats East.
That totally sucks.
Does
right
it? That's
there.
What everybody tells me to go. I mean, I don't know.
Just don't listen.
And Malnati's is supposed to. I haven't been there.
Deep Dish is good. I mean, it's got its place, but true Chicago pizza is really thin crust, greasy cut into squares.
See, and that's what I like.
That's real.
He's such a liar.
No, okay? I do.
You can still see the cheekbones in his face. He hasn't had a piece of pizza.
I have.
Come on.
I ate a Pizzeria Due the other night.
Yeah, there you go.
That's Deep Dish.
If
that's
he has
good.
Pizza, he's going to play like two periods of hockey after. They're going to ask him all those questions, right?
Well, that's, I think, part of how I got this job. I was meeting with Larry Wirt.
Larry, big Chicagoan.
Right.
Larry should tell you how not to get your car stolen out of the Tribune parking lot. Tell that story once, Larry. I love you. Is Larry going to come on? He can tell that story?
I have my doubts.
Yeah, that's another story. I don't know if I should tell, but I will. I was down in L.A. to meet him, and I was in the hotel bar because I figured he might be there because I'd heard he's this great guy.
Yeah, he is a good guy.
I'd been in the bar for about 5 minutes, and a hooker sits down about two chairs away and starts working me. And we laughed for a few minutes and told some stories. I turned around, and there's Larry. He's like, am I interrupting anything here?
Yeah. Do you understand what message is? This is an important company. All right, so they're gonna. Here's the, you got to know. Let's give them some help with the Chicago.
Absolutely.
Is anybody doing this for you? This is the Chicago way. Damn it.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, pizza, thin, Palermo's, 95th Street.
I love Marie's. I was out in the suburbs if you're out there.
Okay.
You got to drive out. You got to get in the car and drive around.
Sure.
I know you don't have any time. You're already on the air now?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Thanks for watching, John.
Okay. I was looking at the morning show, and somebody said, Larry Potash gave you advice of whispering in the news director's ear. Right. I'm like, Larry, you shouldn't say that on the air, dude.
Ridiculous.
I know.
You got to get out to Arlington Park, check out a race out there, a horse race, while it's still around. Prettiest racetrack in the country.
Yeah. I'm Greek. I don't gamble, so I don't know about that. Yes. What else? Italian food right here, Villari.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that. Yes, right. I need to get there.
Peppers and sausage right here.
Okay.
Best peppers and sausage, and Sam Giancana made his last plate.
Yeah.
Sorry, Sam. I know you're dead, but yeah, it's still good.
It's very good.
It's good, yeah. And then what about the politics? How do you avoid getting, because people are going to try to pull you in, you know? Every time I try to get out, they pull me back in. Mm. They're going to try to get you to lean one way or the other. We've got a big mayoral campaign coming
right up. Right. What do you think? I mean, I tell you what, I was impressed with Paul Vallis on this show. I was impressed with Gary McCarthy on this show. I think Vallis is probably going to try to play the money card, which could or couldn't work. And I think McCarthy's going to play the I know what happened behind the curtain card. And
right.
Is any of it enough to beat Rahm? I don't know. It's going to be
really
an uphill.
Smart.
Yeah, he just raised $1 million in an hour and a half, didn't he?
Snapped his fingers.
Yeah.
His brother showed up and everyone kicked in. They saw Ari in the back.
Checkbooks opened.
Yeah.
But.
And I think,
very smart guy.
It's pretty clear, from what I can see anyway, that Pritzker is going to be the next governor. I mean, I think McCann jumping in certainly is problematic for Rauner.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, to use your metaphor, had the Republicans found a way to put Humpty Dumpty back together again, I think it might have had a chance. But now you had the conservative protest vote in March in the primary. Now you're giving conservatives another out in November. I don't know that Rauner can survive it, but as you and I both know, there's a lot of time between now and then. A lot can happen. We're going to be talking about taxes here real soon.
Right. They're going to show up on your show. You're going to be interviewing them, like probably live.
Probably.
Why is it, we've had this debate here in the room, just kicking it around, but it's good to talk to an anchor about this. Why is it that when I want to sit down with a politician, they generally, politicians don't want to sit down with newspaper people. They'd rather do it live on the air.
Really?
What is that?
On TV?
Yeah. Ones who are experienced, is it because they feel they can, they start talking and you can't interrupt? If you interrupt,
there is an
them,
element
then
of
you
that.
Look like the you look
yeah.
like you're rude.
Yeah,
you're
there is an element of that. But the reach of the Chicago Tribune, who wouldn't want to talk to you, John?
Well,
I don't
love
know.
Me.
But yeah, TV is it's a sort of a glamorous, romantic medium, and I think that politicians like airtime.
You turn those lights on and moths come, right?
Yeah, and they can control the conversation in a lot of ways. But I don't know. I don't know that that's true, John. I mean, the politicians don't want to talk to you?
No, I mean, I'm exaggerating. What I'm trying to say is, you're not an inexperienced man. You've been doing this a long time. Mm-hmm. That's why Larry and WGN brought you here. You know what you're doing. Younger, more less experienced broadcast reporters, I think, and this goes for newspaper people too, have a tendency to allow the politician to dominate the negative mm-hmm. space. It's all about that. And they want to control it. They want to control their message mm-hmm. and your job. But I just wonder how you do it live. I mean, when I'm sitting with a politician and they start gassing and we're like into the second bag of gas, I'm like, okay, bleeping enough, you know what I mean? And they get it, but on live TV, you can't say that. So
you can cut them off. You can. I mean, you see what Anderson Cooper did with James Comey the other night, and what Fox and Friends did with the president the other day when he called in.
They're like enough.
Wait,
they're enough. We got to. Okay, thanks.
Sorry, Mr. President.
Got to wash my hair now.
Right.
I'm sure you have things to do.
AARP wants these spots to run on time.
I'm falling, but I can't get up. Yeah. Right. I thought Cooper did
he did a nice job.
Good job. Mm-hmm. And I'm starting to be more. Jeff's looking at me weirdly because he thinks I'm being nice to broadcast because Joe's here. But it's true. I think that I'm starting to kind of like them more. I see the problems that it's not easy. Everyone thinks they can do what you do. There are a million people who think, oh, I could be the anchor on WGN, but they don't know. How long have you been doing this?
Well, 30-plus years, 35 yeah. years. I think the good ones make it look easy, and that's not to say I'm a good one, but
you are a good one.
Anderson Coopers of the world and the people who have been on TV, it's sort of like what you do in the podcast, too, and what a lot of the radio folks do, what Rokan does and what people like, you know, Rush and Colin Cowherd is a friend of mine on Fox Sports One. To open a mic for 3 hours and be entertaining and then do it again the next day, you know, try it sometime. It's not easy.
Yeah, listen to Joe, okay? Try it sometime, big talkers out there on Facebook. Joe, tell us a little bit about your daughter's here in Chicago.
Right, our middle daughter is here. She, as it turned out, got an internship at a PR firm in downtown Chicago about 2 weeks after I was here for the audition. So I didn't know whether I was going to get it.
Yeah.
Our oldest has just taken a job down in St. Louis, so he's close.
What is he doing?
He's working for Learfield Sports, which is sort of like IMG is another.
Yeah.
They've just merged, actually. So they represent university properties and do all their sales for stadium signage and other sales. And then our youngest and my wife are still back in Portland. So our youngest graduates from high school in June, and she's going to go to Notre Dame. So the way the stars all aligned for this, it's just hard to believe.
One thing that people, you know, Chicagoans understand, I don't know if people outside Chicago get it. We don't have Hollywood types. You don't see, you know, I was going to say Sigourney Weaver.
I just saw John Malkovich on Michigan Avenue last week.
Yeah.
After Oprah left, it kind of the Hollywood dried up.
Yeah, Hollywood dried up. But it's not a Hollywood celebrity town. Mm-hmm. It is a TV anchor celebrity town.
It's crazy, weird, John. John, people were stopping me at Wrigley Field before I even started on the air, just based on the promos WGN was running. It's crazy.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Is it like that in Portland?
It's not like that. People in Portland be like, hey, there's the guy on TV.
Hey, whatever, dude.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Here, pass the light.
Let's go to Taco Bell. Let's go to Taco Bell and get some.
Well, it's not organic. They wouldn't.
Okay. But you know where I'm going there.
Yeah.
But here, it's a different deal.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm not trying to put pressure on you because you can handle it, but.
John, I can't tell you how happy I am to be here. I really, when I drove through Kansas City, I felt like I was back home, you know, and then I drove through St. Louis and then to come up this way. It's just, I have the chills sitting here. Every time I tell people this story, I was at a function the other day for WGN with Bob Jordan and Steve Sanders and Dan Rohn. And these are guys in Skilling. I grew up on these guys on the Superstation.
And
to be on the set with those guys is, it's almost like an out-of-body experience. I mean, there's more than 100 years of experience on that set.
Yeah, it freaked me out once when I was on the set. And I looked, and there's Dan Rohn on the side of it, you know? I'm like, Dan Rohn, love you, man.
I said that, too. Rohn sent me a text after they announced the hire, and he said, just remember, Skilling can have you killed, and no one will say a word.
And not only will he have you killed, but he'll do, like, a whole diagram about
That's right. And talk about the high-pressure system.
And his head just kept flying into the air.
And then he'll plan it. He'll plan it for your funeral services. It'll be raining and thundering.
Yeah. Right, we got to take this guy out. We'll take him. Are you a non-meat eater?
No.
Vegetarian?
No, meat. Gibson's, I had a big, huge steak that was fantastic. Tavern on Rush, I had just a phenomenal
steak.
Another huge steak. Right.
Gene and Giorgetti's. That's where we got to go.
Scotch? Cigars? Scotch is on me, John.
Good. You know what? That's a great thing. I would like to be able to sit and have a cigar in a room. With heat.
Don't they have a place to do that here?
You got to join clubs.
We could go to Sean's place.
We go to Sean's place, yeah, but Sean will keep talking. Sean will never shut up.
Oh, God bless him.
Poor Sean, you know, poor Joe, he's going to run into the crazy Irishman, you know, or Norwegian or whatever the hell
he is. Yeah, it's a mix.
Yeah, he's a mix. And we'll take him to Gene's. Anybody who wants to contact WGN with stories for Joe Donilon should email him. I'm sure there's an email somewhere.
JDONLON at WGNTV.com.
Awesome.
How's that for a plug? Thanks, John.
Dang it. There's your bell.
Yeah, because I'm really glad you came in, man. And you do look like a guy who would be playing wing. Mm-hmm. And Bobby Hull, who's the great Bobby Hull, says it's okay. So it's okay by me.
I met Tony Esposito the other night, too. It's just been an amazing landing here.
How's
guys?
Tony Esposito's hair darker than mine?
Right?
How does that work?
That's something.
He still looks good.
You know? Yeah.
For Joe Donnellan, thank you so much for being here.
It's been an honor, John. And I'm, I'll leave you with this. When I get invited to the goat cookout, that's when I'll know I've arrived in Chicago.
Listen, Joe Donnellan will only get the neframia, the back end of that goat, the loin. It's the part that Jeff, who's a vegetarian otherwise,
would get.
Just for John.
He gorped that down, 2 pounds worth of loin. He's like, oh, you got any more salt? Anyway, thanks, Joe, for being here.
Thanks, John.
So, Scott Stennis.
Yes.
Nationally known cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune. I'm looking at your winner from last week's, I love these, Scott Stennis cartoon, caption cartoons.
Yeah, they're fun. And they've gotten crazy popular lately. People, I don't know what happened.
All right, in case you have not submitted your cartoon caption to Scott, where do people do this?
You just go to chicagotribune.com/Stantis and click on, there's a link there in my blog, and go ahead and there's an email link. Click on that and go ahead and send it in. Send them in one at a time, though. I have a number of people who send in like 10 in one email. And if I see one I like, I've got to cut it out, repost it, resend it, and all that stuff.
Right.
So enter as many as you want, but just do them one at a time, please.
Well, we're looking at last week's contest, and there's a picture of a Death Star over Chicago, and two guys are talking. Two figures. One's, I really can't make out the figures, but I know they're
just
kind of
people.
Humanoid.
Yes.
And the winner was from Mark Wheeler of Oswego. Quote, I knew we should have let Lucas build his museum. That was really good.
There were a lot of really good ones. In fact, like I said, now I'm getting hundreds of entries, which makes my day longer. Great. It's a happy problem to have.
Right, it's weird. In the new one, the new Scott Stennis cartoon caption cartoon contest, I've got two people, looks like two kids, each with their finger on something called a disc.
Yeah, remember the old floppies, the 3.5-inch floppy?
And they're looking at it, and they're swiping it, the other.
What is
this thing?
It's gonna be, I'm looking forward to seeing what people come up with that. Sometimes it's obvious, sometimes not so much.
Were you thinking of like the Aborigines and like, say, Argosy magazine, 1947, where they would tell stories of pilots downed among the Aborigine, and some Aborigines would look up and talk about the gods in the sky and
so forth. Like the gods must be crazy, the Bushman finds the glass bottle. Sure, I think we're human beings, we're like that all the time anyway. We find
what,
stuff.
What is this stuff? All right, let me ask you. And Jeff Carlin is with us now, too, right, Jeff?
Yeah, hello.
Okay, I know he hates when I look in the glass and he's looking at his phone and I say, hey, Jeff.
Yeah,
okay.
This is like my teacher.
Okay, Bill Cosby, creepy jello salesman.
America's father, for some reason.
Father goes down. He's convicted of sexual assault.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And he was convicted of, he was alleged to have sexually assaulted women at the time when Meryl Streep was still calling Harvey Weinstein God.
Yeah.
Right?
Kowtowing.
Is that what it was? Touching
she didn't know. She couldn't have known.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At the same time, Kanye West and Chance the Rapper are being pilloried by the left in America for daring Kanye saying from Chicago saying, he kind of liked Trump, and nobody's going to stop him from liking him, or he's not going to kowtow to the mob on Twitter. And
they're both dragon energy, is what is for whatever that means.
Yes.
I know. I got to see Enter the Dragon again, or maybe Game of Thrones. And then Kanye backs him up, right?
Does it mean Kanye's a Targaryen? I'm sorry.
So he backs him up. And there's pushback now. They're losing followers. The left is all upset. I can imagine some guy in a fuzzy pink hat wearing some kid, fuzzy pink hat wearing kids sipping Americano
wearing a Che t-shirt.
With, yes, exactly. With, you know, maybe 15 or 20 Twitter accounts ripping on them. Question. Cultural icons, black community. This is not about Trump.
Nah.
Cultural icons, black community. One goes down for crime. The others are called criminals by, you know, political criminals by the left. Put your political hats on, because this is a Chicago way. People come here for real smart analysis. What's the outcome of this? Jeff Conlin.
Ooh. Yeah, I was trying.
That's right. We want to look beyond the news to the cultural.
When this happened, I was, you know, Brian Altimer, my producing partner, yeah. Big black Marine, one of my best, technically like my brother from another mother. He.
And gamer.
And a gamer. And he and I asked him. So we saw this tweet pop up and then the back and forth. And I thought, is there an overlap? Is there a Venn diagram where Trump supporters and Kanye fans overlap? Like, is that what this is? Is it a play to this? Or is this just is Kanye being Kanye, a guy who's a counterculturist type? He wants to go against, he does his own thing, thinks it's more provocative to be who he is and not be, you know, sad about it or question it or ask for, you know, people to forgive him for being himself.
Unlike Joy Reid.
Right. And he does. And I think that's what it is. I think it's just, that's who he is. He's a guy who sees Trump as this bombastic, he is who he is, take him or leave him, and run with it. Now, your question to what is going to be the fallout from it.
Yes.
You and I had a conversation about this.
Oh,
and
you had to let people in on it. I thought I was helping you out. Okay.
You were.
Yeah, I was sitting on the deck of the West Suburban Bureau after having a scotch and soda and thinking about a column. Anyway, yeah. So?
Yeah.
That's my point. I'll give my point of view. Scott, what is the cultural effect of all this stuff?
I think it's negligible. I think the connection, first of all, Kanye, obviously, wrong. He's married to, what?
Go on.
In his marriage, he's married to a TV reality mm-hmm. Star, so there's that crossover. That the one,
does she actually put silicone in her posterior?
Allegedly.
I've never experienced or witnessed it, so I can't say with any authority.
Just the idea of the possibility of that is...
Sounds like it hurts.
Anyway,
but anyway,
swollen.
But everything's upside down, and what we're not discussing, what will not be discussed, but what will be discussed right now, is the emergence, the ascent of the affluent African American community, which is we've been ignoring for the last 30 years. But that the middle class has been growing, and the upper middle class, and upper class. So you have a wealthy class that's going to skew. Stay with me, kids. Republican. They're going to want to. They built wealth. They created wealth, and they want to keep wealth. So the fact that he would come out and say that he supports Trump, I think he's a provocateur, first and foremost, but I also think it makes sense.
Okay, both of you are wrong.
Oh. Dun, dun, dun.
This is a significant political issue, and it doesn't have anything to do with Trump or Kanye being Kanye, because he's a marketer. You know, he wants to be countercultural. You've got these cultural icons, and this is why it'll be avoided by people who say they speak for the black community, just like, or many of them in our business, not Mace Jackson or some, or those guys, but others. Stephanie Trussell and LS Prep will understand this, and others, but the mainstream will stay away. And here's why. When a cultural icon is attacked, in a community that has long been oppressed, there's no coming back from that. So all these fuzzy pink hat white boys with their fleeces ripping on Kanye and Chance, there's going to be a blowback because the community that loves them for their attitude and their presence and their talents. But also has iconicized them. They've become icons. And an icon like that cannot bend the knee, cannot say, oh, I'm sorry, white progressives. Oh, I'm sorry, I'll back down now and I'll be your Sidney Poitier. They're not Sidney Poitier. And Sidney Poitier wasn't Sidney Poitier.
I don't know about this one. I think especially in this cultural atmosphere, I think you can come back from virtually anything.
And of course they can come back. They're not going anywhere. The point is you start pushing on the liberal, the left starts pushing on those guys, and there's a pushback by their fans against the left.
Mm.
You see how it's going to roll?
Yeah.
And that's why it's, if I were a see, that's why I said, you know, in the monologue, Rahm's smart. You know, he's a smart guy. Guys like Rahm understand this cultural issue. So does David Axelrod. So do others on all sides of this. You start ripping on Kanye and Chance and basically telling them to step back, step off this corner. That's not going to work. It's gonna, the other side's going to, people are going to go, hey, why do we have to listen to a bunch of white liberals telling us how we're supposed to think? And once that mindset is established, it's called independence, then you lose the captive community. Then you don't have the same control. And this is what it's about, because if there are, black voters are not Democrats, there is no Democratic Party.
Right.
That's really simple. And they're going to do whatever they can to keep it. So people, here's my theory. People are not going to avoid the issue. They're going to avoid touching it, just like they avoided many of them touching the city key ID card issue and the blurring the lines between citizen and non-citizen. Scott Stannis sighed and shook his head. This is the theater of the mind.
Oh, sorry.
What, did you disagree with me?
Not in the least. The city key card program is the most heinous and obvious and cynical thing he could possibly have done to get illegal aliens. And I'm sorry. The operative word there is illegal to vote. And by the way, all the other libs and Democrats in the city who've come out in this newspaper, frankly, and in this building, have said, that's not what it does.
Smart guy on page two who said it blurs the lines.
I don't think it blurs it. I think it obliterates it. I mean, it truly.
Who's that guy? Yeah.
He's a very smart guy.
Yeah.
Very smart guy.
Jeff Carlin, what do you think? Have you done this issue on Drive Time Radio?
No.
Putting you on the spot.
No, we haven't, because it's, I don't give it any credit. I mean, I think it's like you said.
You don't give it the idea credit?
No, not the idea. The actual institution of the card. Like the idea that it's just a pandering ploy. That's all it is. I mean, you nailed it. You see through it as that.
Mayor Zorro?
Yeah, I mean,
Zorro the Fox, cunning and free. Yeah. Zorro.
Exactly. I mean, he's trying to sell it as, hey, you're into the museums for only one fee. You get into all the museums, it pays for itself.
Discounts on Cubs games.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, when the registrar, and I cannot remember her name, I wish I'd written it down.
It's Anna Valencia, who's pretending to be the city clerk under Rahm.
Yes. Well, and when she says this will allow people to vote, that you just gave the plan away. You know, you're the quarterback who just stood up and yelled at the defense, we're running an end around.
There's more to this story. It's going to come out in the next day or so. Maybe I should do it by the time you hear this, I've already appeared on the City Club panel.
Oh.
To talk about this on Monday at Maggiano's. Maybe I'll wait.
I've never been invited to be on that, to speak to that group, by the way.
You would like to?
I've asked.
I know some guys.
I've asked a couple of times, and they said, why would we do that?
Who have you asked?
Like
the staffers?
No. People.
Like Jay?
Through an intermediary to talk to the guy who ran it about a few years ago.
And I said, they're always.
You know a guy?
It's called the City Club of Chicago.
I know. I'm just saying. I said, I'd love to. That seems like a great group to talk to.
It is a great group.
And they said, why would we want to do that? I think you have the associate deputy registrar of dog licenses speak. You won't have me.
We're going to amend that because by the time I'm done with you, Jeff Carlin is done with you, Pat Brady's going to be carrying you on a silver platter to various Lincoln Day functions or whatever. And so will the Chicago Club.
Can I ask you, can we change the subject a little
Please
bit?
Please do.
You mind? I'm sorry.
No.
I mean, if you want to cut
who
this
wants
out,
to go. Talk about human organs growing in the bellies of pigs? I don't.
No, well, we can go there.
No, sometimes
this sure. may be the same subject what? Because I want to talk about the governor's race.
Mm-hmm.
You and I met her for the first time on this podcast was Jeannie Ives, and we both thought this is the person who should be the Republican nominee for governor of this great state. It turned out not to happen. Let's not talk about the endorsements.
Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the Rauner's horses and all the Rauner's men could not put Rauner back together again. Jeff Collin!
Who do you vote for here? And I'm serious.
I don't talk about who I'm going to vote
for. Not who
for.
You vote for, but who do you endorse? Who do you
support? I don't endorse. I just mock. I mock and praise.
Because Rauner has been, in my view, an unmitigated disaster. No leadership. When you stand there after you've been governor for three plus years and you say, I'm not in charge.
Yeah.
True or not, you don't say that. But the J.P. Pritzker has missed.
Okay, Monty Python, The Meaning of Life, Mr. Creosote Eats Illinois. Okay?
Yeah.
Enough. The visual images, I just got sick. Because I remember what happened at this. Stop. One more wafer.
Yes,
I can't handle that. When the kids
rise off sin.
When the kids would get sick at home, I would run out of the room. Betty always knows. I would run out of the room. So please don't talk about fluids.
Okay.
I can't take it.
You got Pritzker who's taxed and spent everything as if we're not taxed and spent already to a degree that is, you know, puts us down the top of at least a list in this country.
Come on, calm down. Jeff Carlin, when you take your billions of dollars and put them in the Grand Cayman Islands and offshore accounts to hide them from the tax man, you don't mind also paying
that sweet, sweet WGN money.
Yeah, WGN? I couldn't even afford to get myself to the Cayman Islands, let alone my money.
But I mean, when you do that and take all your billions and hide them there, and then say it's all about charity because it's all for the children.
Right, the children.
And then,
want somebody
well, he tore out his toilets. Remember when Carlin did that?
And then you raise our, yeah.
It was a drunk,
you helped them.
It was a drunken, drug-addled weekend, but it's
right.
sort of the same thing.
Was that you?
It was good for the taxes.
Was that you with the low-rise jeans and the T-shirt pushing the toilet over?
Something like that.
Yeah. Doing the whole plumber thing?
I have no memory.
Back
of this.
To this, Jeff Carlin. How does he raise our taxes and also hide his money in the Grand Cayman accounts?
Yeah,
how does that happen?
I think that's going to be something he's going to overcome just by the sheer fact that he'll be able to say, Bruce Rauner is a Republican, and then that'll be it. Nobody will think about it.
As a Republican, I feel no, and I am. I mean, I'm an editorial cartoonist. I come from the right. I'm going to vote Republican. I've voted for four Democrats in my life because they were more conservative than the Republicans. This is down south.
I voted for Democrats here for governor. Yeah.
Really?
I voted for Pichard. Voted for Paul Vallis.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my son Peter just called. Sorry, Pete.
Do you need to get that?
I'll talk to you later.
Okay. No. Okay, I know. My point is I have not run into a Republican yet who has... I actually exchanged some emails yesterday with one who says, I'm going to hold my nose and vote for the guy. That's as close as I've heard from a Republican who supports Bruce Rauner. We had such high hopes for him coming in 4 years ago. And I looked at the Republican candidate, whose name I forget, but it was the Libertarian candidate. And that was a non-starter there, I'm afraid. So I don't know what the hell I'm going to do.
I'll be back.
Chicago Way Podcast has a new segment. Let's announce it to everybody. It's called You Who Are So Wise in the Ways of Science. And it is Jeff Carlin's segment. Jeff Carlin knows that there's a new story out there that the Japanese are developing pigs that can grow the organs of humans.
Right. They're growing.
In their little bellies. They're called chimeria.
Yeah.
Right? Which is from the Greek mythology. And Jeff Carlin, the question to you, I might need a new pair of lungs and maybe, I don't know. I could see many politicians who need like a bunch of pigs running around because to grow some extra gonads or something that they might
spines,
have lost
perhaps.
In spines.
Spines. Yeah, that but one, I don't think that would work, spines.
It could, but what do you do about that creature that comes, that will come out eventually, not pop out, but will come through this research of a half man, half pig?
That's how, isn't that the plot of Animal Farm, right?
No? That's Wilbur?
Yeah. Yeah, this is something, you know, they've been doing it in Napoleon. Yeah, they've been doing this for a while. This isn't new technology, but it's developed into organs. I mean, they've been growing ears on the back of mice for years.
Hey, listen, I'm not talking about ears. I'm talking about human pig creatures.
But it's not like that.
Come on.
It's not like they're...
It's science.
You know what's coming.
It's not like they grow these pigs and then like, hey, pigs, now you replicate yourselves with another pig and you create another creature.
It won't be like that. It'll be life finds a way. You ever watch Jurassic Park?
Yeah.
You understand this. And the DNA will be mixed and the pigs, human... You're going to see a pig with, I don't know, Pritzker's head on it or... Stannis' head on it, or Cass. You'll see a two-headed pig with Cass's pig. The Cass pig will start talking and say, I'd like to eat my own bacon.
Yeah.
What does my own bacon taste like?
Yeah, you make your own bacon.
Be a cannibal pig, too.
Yeah. So
which they are, by the way.
Right. Pigs. Oh, yeah.
That's why some people don't dig on swine.
Mm-hmm.
But the main thing is, what are you going to do with these ethical issues? Do I have to call my Uncle Leon Cass to come in?
I see. I don't know. I mean, that's strict control. So you're just saying the groups are doing it. They're not going to be able to control it. And it's going to go haywire. And we're going to have some sort of creature that we have to bow down before. Or we're just going to be worried about it thinking for
itself. We're not going to bow down before it, but there's going to be a bunch of them here. And this is why, Jeff. Because scientific rationalism, the pursuit of science and reason, when you don't have God in the equation, leads you to programs of terrible horrors in the name of science, like using a hammer to break open the head of one child while leaving the other child alone. That's been done by a country that lost its way. It was a civilized nation, but it believed in science above all. And it's happening in Japan this way. And in England, the rationalists have decided that there's a child that can live. His name is Baby Elfie. Let's take Baby Elfie off life support for his own good. When the government of Italy and a hospital in Italy reached down and said, we will take this child. And people are writing to me about this column I wrote without the pigs and the human Japanese pigs and all that, about Baby Elfie, and I'm trying to explain to them that this is what happens when we look at God and we turn our faces away, and then we look at science and rationalism and say that is our God. That's where I'm at here.
No, I couldn't. I actually agree that it's not, they're not opposed to each other.
Right.
They really aren't. You can have, scientific advances are important, obviously. We could spend hours talking about them. But if there's not a moral component, if there's not, I'll say it, a religious component, then you go to a place like Auschwitz, you go to a place like Ordruff.
Mengele.
Exactly.
Or Dr. Moreau.
And you start having experiments on human beings that may or may not have some semblance of value, but it strips that moment of humanity, which makes it, in my mind, rather hollow and worthless.
So what if they came up with an idea which is a feasible possibility, that there is, they could keep organs alive, just grow them in a petri dish or in a sack or whatever. There's no animal attached. There's no sentient being. There's no brain stem. There's no any of that. And it's just growing the organ.
There won't be a pig with some recognizable face like, say, Brad Pitt or Harvey Weinstein on it.
Right.
Right?
My point is that it's the pig. Your worry is that the pig is going to be what?
My worries?
Well, I mean, that's the
my God, man. My worries are that we create creatures, human beings, and like human pigs, basically, and we're not freaked out about it?
And we're not thinking that far ahead that they're going to create some sort of human hybrid, and that's the worry. So if they can do this technology, because it's incredible technology, the idea that you don't need a match for a liver, you don't need a match for a kidney, you've got your own kidney, you've got your own liver, it matches you perfectly.
My father was a man, I've told you many things about him. He couldn't swim. He's from the mountains, okay? And he was a war fighter for years against the Italians and then the communists and the Nazis, Germans. But he was a mountain man. He could hunt. He could find wild onions to eat, but he never swam. In Greece, you know, you'd think,
sure,
you know, land of sea. Well, not really, okay? To get to the sea would take you 2 days from our village. So we were swimming once in a quarry. Our family, we had a quarry. We couldn't go to the city because in 68, there were, you know, the riots and everything. Everything was gone to hell, 67, 68. So the summer we went out to Wilmington. There were these strip mines near the Kankakee River. They filled them up with water, and they made little, it was kind of like white people go to the park. You know, it was one of those things. And it was strip mines, and you go swimming, and you buy hot dogs. My father was out there. We jump in the, my brother Pete and I are on a raft, a diving raft. My dad said, don't go beyond the buoys. Of course we did.
Of course.
12. Go down beyond the buoys to the diving raft, and he starts coming out to get us, and he's upset. But it's a quarry. So it dropped. There's a drop off. And he goes down. All of a sudden, Pete and I can see it to this day. I'm on the high dive, Pete's on the low dive, or vice versa. We just look at each other. We see the flailing, and we about 100 yards away, we knew it was him. We look at each other, and boom, we swim. So we get to him, and you know what he says while he's going down? Stay away. He says, stay away from me. And he's drowning. And he says, stay away. And he's screaming bloody murder for us to stay away. And he's trying to hold his breath, and he's trying to float. He keeps going down. Pete distracts him. I come up from behind him. I grab his hair. Pete comes from behind him. We both grab his hair, and he's screaming, stay away, but we have the hair. And we pull him by his hair to the shallow water, where he can at least step. He sits, we get him out. He sits on the beach, lights a Winston, freaks out, is quiet, he's white. He tells mom, pack up, we're going. We pack up, and we don't say anything, because this was a guy of great power in our, you know what I mean? He was our father. He was like a god to us. And we had seen him vulnerable. Later on, he said, you know why I was screaming to stay away? You know why I was doing this? We said, why, Dad? He said, because I was about to grab you and drown you. Because living creatures will grab and drown anything when you're at the time of death. You can't help it, because
self-preservation.
The grab for life is so necessary and so important. It's instinctual. You can't stop. And that's how I see these scientific things, that we will kill ourselves. We will drown ourselves. We will take embryos of babies and we will convert them to medical products, and we will say it's science because it'll help us. Or we'll take Japanese pig humans and use them to help us, as because we don't want to die, because I want those organs. And in the process, we kill ourselves. We drown, and we will step on our own children, on our own culture, on our own futures, and push it down so we can live.
I think AI is going to kill us first, John.
I'm so glad I can't come through the glass right now. I just opened my heart to you, man.
And
you just drop in the AI thing.
I do think that someone has to stay in the water.
I can't wait till after this show.
but I get you're right, John. I mean, you're absolutely right that humanity does. You know, we're destructive in our own right, because there is this goal, this never ending goal of living.
What happens to humanity?
But, well, what happens to humanity is that there's also a father who is going to say, "Stay away."
Sometimes.
Sometimes, most times.
Sometimes the father will. But if we, when we create these things, these medical advances, do we think, do we really think it long term? Do we really think what's going to happen to us long term?
Do you know any human being, especially in the 21st century, who thinks long term?
I think there are many philosophers, ethicists.
Today?
Writers. People do, but the average person will say, wow, I can live. Wow, if I, you know, there's a commercial on the air now for Botox for men. You know this? Botox.
I'm looking at my face Betty, thinking too late.
Yeah, I know, too late for me. Betty's like, yeah, it is. So I found it. Guys talk about Botox, like putting, you know,
botulism
mm-hmm. under their eyes so they don't have baggy eyes. And I'm thinking, what kind of a chicken shit man are you, little beta B word? But that's what it is, though. And yeah. We're changing all the time this way.
Oh, I think we're creating a culture that is, I mean, no offense to Mr. Carlin, but we're staring at our phones. We walk into people. How many times are you walking
down
the street?
He's trying to book a guest for his Rokan show.
Then it's not, but it is a generational thing where you're walking down the street and someone almost bumps into you and they look up and they look at you like you're the a-hole. Like you're the one. I mean, I'm like, yeah, like, dude, I was just walking.
I know. I'd really like to, you know, if I could get a troop of Cossacks to cut their heads off, that would be good.
I guess my point
is like Taras Bulba, the thing would roll down the hill. We are the Cossacks. We are the Cossacks. Men who nobody else can tame.
But that maybe that's what we need to fight in our this growing narcissism in our society. And so, yeah, you know, if I look at something and I can see, you know, I have heart disease in my family. I don't, but let's say I do.
You want a cigarette?
No. Okay. No, I haven't smoked in a while. I'm rather proud of this.
You've cut smoking. You don't smoke and you've lost a lot of weight.
Lost a lot of weight. That's stress, but that's something entirely different. I guess my point is that, you know, when we get to that point and so someone says, hey, listen, we have this thing. Yeah, we sacrifice 2, 3, 4 fetuses to it, but, you know, you can grow a second heart right. And you're going to be in great and you're going to live forever.
Hey, it'll only take about 20 babies. I don't call them fetuses, babies. And guess what? But you're going to have a great erection. You're going to have great sex.
That one I might.
People do. What I'm saying is it's all about me, man.
Yeah. No, it has. We're creating more and more a narcissistic society, more self-centered society. There's no question.
Is that why so many people are on drugs now, Jeff Carlin? I mean, are we pathological to the point where we're medicating ourselves because we can't handle this? So we stare into our phones. That's a drug.
It's not like it's just happening. This is purposeful. You have drug companies they sell drugs and they advertise and they market to be like that. These companies that do Facebook, Instagram, they are they're imploring human psychology to get people to stay longer. Video games, it's the same thing. They have teams of psychologists who plan out how step by step this is going to hook people and make them more focused on this and increase the way they block out the outside world. And it's all these groups, that's their goal. And it's not like this stuff is just happening. I mean, this is an active
I think it's a conscious decision to anesthetize the populace.
Put a chip in my head.
That's what I'm telling you. AI is going to kill you first.
I wasn't being flippant. Put me in the viscous fluid. Make me look like Keanu Reeves. Right?
Exactly.
And I can eat steaks while I'm sleeping.
Well, let me
and
ask
I think
you,
it's a steak.
When you guys go to church, I mean, I can't tell you. I've been to Mass the last few weeks, and this is becoming a thing. I was sitting behind a number of people, and they have their cell phones. They're looking at their cell phones during the Mass. Okay, turn it off for 45 minutes. It's not that long, people. But no, this gets worse. He puts it away, and I could time it because I'm that guy. Every 3.5 minutes, this guy had to touch his pants, his pocket with the phone in it to make sure it was there. It was like, this is an addiction. This is a problem.
Wait a second. They have they have Catholics who support abortion publicly and still take communion. So you think they're going to be stopped by the phone?
Yeah, yeah.
Come and see. Come to the Orthodox. There's no phones. You can't, no.
Really? Come on.
But you know what bothers me? They take pictures. They send videos like... during the Holy Easter, you know, I like to see them, you know, when people sing Christos Anesti and everything, and the lights come on in the church.
I know, isn't that beautiful?
It is beautiful, but I'm thinking, you're not in the moment when you're taking that video, man. You're trying to frame up the camera.
Right.
I don't know. Weird, huh?
Oh, I'm at the Art Institute. Okay, last rant. You're at the Art Institute. You're seeing some of the greatest art human beings have created in our existence.
Assumption of the Virgin by Greco.
The Van Gogh. Yeah. His self-portrait in his room, from one of the paintings of his room from Arles. But you have people taking a selfie in front of it. I'm going, No. Put down the damn phone. Take in the art. And you're not a part of it. You weren't there when Van Gogh painted this thing. Shut up. Look at the art. Enjoy it.
They want to be part of the Van Gogh show.
Yes.
Van Gogh. Cut your damn ears off then. You really want to be part of it?
And if you do, you can regrow it on the back of a pig.
And with that thought, Jeff Carlin regrowing Van Gogh's ear on the back of a pig. And I thought I was going to be a journalist. I started being a serious journalist. I really did. God. And now I got sucked into this thing with Jeff and Scott Stannis. Mm-mm-mm. Okay. It'll be a great week. And we're going to have another great week. And Jeff and I are going to have a fight in the hallway after we're done. And thanks for everybody to Joe Donlin from the weird city of Portland. Now, with WGN TV. Jeff, I think, thanks for bringing him in. I think he's a decent guy.
Yeah, he is.
He seems like a cool guy.
Quite the breakdancer.
I know, whatever. For Scott Stannis, Tribune cartoonist, who just gave me a weird, I could write 6 columns off what he said today. Jeff Carlin, the boys, my sons tell me, don't say he's a master pie baker anymore. Because it's like you're trying to intimidate him to make you a pie. And I said, exactly.
Yeah.
Jeff Carlin, pie maker and WGN producer for the Rokan show. And John Cass, mild-mannered, syndicated columnist. Why do I throw that in there?
Because it's awesome.
Just kissed my own butt.
Got to take care of number one.
John Cass.
Narcissism, man.
Yeah, I know. Just John Cass, a guy sitting on his deck. Drinking iced tea and trying to write columns. That's what I usually do. Thanks for being here, everybody. This has been the Chicago Way.